Christ didn't need to come. Christ didn't need to die. Christ didn't need to give us the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to say you'll be saved so long as you are good is not even to understand what good means. This is the point. Now then, the Lord goes on then to say, the Lord noticed his patience. He didn't say to him, "You ignorant men, I have been trying to explain to you half the day about how to enter the kingdom, and here you come and tell me that you have kept these things." Well, maybe we would have spoken to a person like that in our impatience. The Lord notices he doesn't understand. Now he changes his words and simply says, "Well, let's forget about the details of this matter. And let me put it to you like this. If you would be perfect, if you really want to inherit eternal life, if you really want to have eternal life, just go there, sell your possessions, give them to those who need it. You will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." The answer then, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have eternal life? Is now answered simply in the words, "Come follow me." Now the question is, if you would be perfect, does this mean a higher stage? Okay, does he mean, all right, you have kept the commandments, and now you, in order to be perfect, come and follow me? Now I suspect many people reading it might assume that that's what the Lord is saying, and quite wrongly so. That's not what the Lord is saying at all. Because if he had truly from his youth observed all the commandments, he is already perfect. There's nothing left to be perfect about. There is perfection. You have kept all the commandments intact. What else is there left to be perfect? What other definition is there for perfection? So is the Lord now talking about a higher stage? Maybe we can say there are two parts of the same answer. But one is the primary stage and other is the higher stage. One is the primary school and the other is the high school. So you have got, he might be saying to the rich young ruler, you've got primary school, but now you should graduate to high school. Or if you want to graduate to high school, then be my disciples. Now, if we think like this, of course, then we look at all disciples as rather high-class Christians, you see. They are a super strata of Christians in the church. What a thin strata that is, too, in the church. If we're going to look at that, we'll be looking at a few stars in the sky of the night. And there's nothing much left to see around the place. Is that what the Lord is saying? To think like this is, again, not to understand what the word perfect here means. You see, when we look at this passage, the answer is found even in this passage. Only God is good. Sure, that's what he just said. Only God is good. There is one who is good. And as the parallel passages in Mark and Luke says, there is none good but God. But there only God is perfect. So you can see that good and perfect are in fact simply different words for the same thing. Only God is perfect. Only God is good. What's the difference in the meaning of good and perfect? In the way Jesus uses the word good, in the sense that only God is good, there is no difference between the word good and perfect. There may be a difference between good and perfect in our language, but it is important to notice that in the way the Lord Jesus uses the word good, as he himself has mentioned in his own definition of good, there is no difference between the word good and perfect. To become good is to become like God, because only God is good. To become perfect is also to become like God, because only God is perfect. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 5:48. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now there is what it is. Good and perfect, exactly the same thing. Which shows you again that these two parts of the Lord's answer are really the same thing. Since he didn't understand what he had said about good, he now uses the word perfect. Maybe thinking that since he still does not understand good, he's still understanding good in the human sense, now the Lord Jesus will use the word perfect to force him to think in the divine sense. Since surely if he doesn't understand that only God is good, he must understand that only God is perfect. Hence he has changed the word in order to get him to understand the meaning. If you would become perfect, then means if you would become like God.
Oh.
The answer now it becomes very significant. If you would become good, if you would become perfect, if you would become good is to become like God. If you would become perfect is also to become like God. And in fact, this meaning is borne out also by the comparison of Luke chapter 6, verse 27 onwards, and comparing the parallel with Matthew. In Luke 26, they say, to do good is to be merciful. And be merciful as your Father is merciful. Merciful is goodness. The parallel passage in Matthew is, be perfect. To be merciful is to be perfect. To be good is to be perfect. Very interesting. In the way the Lord Jesus speaks. And to understand the Lord's teaching, you have to take his definition of the words. Because we regard as good, better, perfect. This is the way we think of words. That's not the way the Lord Jesus uses the words. That is important to understand. So, now to understand again, coming back to the answer, to the question. What must I do to have eternal life? The answer now becomes, you've got to be like God to have eternal life. God has eternal life. And if you want eternal life, you've got to become like God. Oh, that's what the Lord said distinctly in Matthew 5:48. You must be perfect. You must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Only so will you be the sons of God. Read again Matthew 5:48. The answer here is the same. Now we begin to feel a sense of terror. I gotta become like God. What am I gonna do? How can I be like this? The Lord does not leave us in despair. He goes on to the answer. Cut your link with the world, your love of money, your love for the things of this world, and follow me. Follow me. In order to become like God, this is the whole point of discipleship. Why do we follow Jesus? Because in following him, in fellowshipping with him, in listening to his teaching, in listening to his words of life, we are being transformed, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, from one degree of glory to another. The whole purpose of being a Christian is transformation. How many times I have tried to stress this? It is being transformed from one degree of glory to another. It is becoming like God. Why do we become disciples? Because how else can we become like him except through fellowship with him? That is why in 1 John chapter 1 it says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And because we fellowship with him, we are living in the light. And by living in the light, as the Apostle Paul says, you who once were darkness have now become light. How did we become light? Through fellowship with him. This is the significance of discipleship. You find the Lord's teaching hard to understand? So, not unless we are like the rich young ruler trying to make excuses by saying, which? Lord, I really don't understand what you mean. I don't know what you are saying. You keep the commandments? Which commandments? But those commands I have always kept. If we want to understand, it is very easy to understand. Or else we just try not to understand. The Lord's answer then, to sum up, is very simple. Very simple and very clear. At least to any person whose heart is open enough to want to understand. If you ask then, what is the meaning of discipleship? Let me say it again, as the Lord has put it. If you want to be perfect, if you want to be like God, come with me. I have to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean that overnight you become like God. It doesn't mean overnight you show forth his beauty and his glory. Not at all. This is a process. Discipleship is a process. You are not saved in 5 minutes. In the sense of being transformed in 5 minutes. You are forgiven in 1 minute. God can just forgive your sins the moment you repent. But being a Christian is not just being forgiven. There is more to being the Christian life than just being forgiven. Forgiveness is the wonderful beginning of the Christian life. It is the clearing away of all the mess of your life so that there is a clean foundation upon which to build something new, to build something beautiful for God. Our calling in this world, brothers and sisters, is to do what? Simply to wait around until we die so that we can get to heaven? Not at all. Many times when you hear the gospel preached today, it's as though once you got saved, that's the end, more or less the end of the matter. You are saved and that's it. Now the next thing to wait is for you to die. And in the meantime, just try to employ your time a little bit profitably, this long intervening boring gap, if you like, until we die so that we can get to heaven. We are not to think in this way of the Christian life, because God has given to us a glorious task in the world, namely to be the light of the world. Now, God is light. You see the point? And to fulfill this task, we have to be like Him, that is to show forth His light. If we are not light in the world, then what are we? We are not Christians. But the only way to be light is to be like Him. And the only way to be like Him is, as the Lord Jesus says, follow me. We are each one to be disciples. There is no other way. And it is in being disciples that we learn to fulfill the law, the commandments. Not that we are saved by the commandments, but we are saved by His grace, which enables us to live the kind of life that God accepts, that is pleasing to Him. I would like you to ponder carefully on these things. We are dealing with things of the greatest importance. I wonder if you really clearly not only understand, but fulfill the Lord's teaching. Are you willing then to be a disciple? Are you willing not just to be forgiven? And God is most happy freely to forgive you when you repent. But remember that forgiveness is simply to prepare the way for discipleship, to transform your life into something beautiful, namely God's light in this world. Are you willing to be a disciple? So unlike the notion in many churches or among many Christians that discipleship is some kind of a higher standard of Christian, there's no such thing in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the disciple is simply a Christian. The disciple is simply a word for any Christian. You are either a disciple or you're not a disciple. If you are a Christian in the biblical sense, then you are a disciple. Not just I am a disciple, not just those in the training team are disciples. If you are a true Christian, then you are a disciple. And you must then know that your calling is to be conformed, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8. To be conformed to the image of His Son. This is the whole point of becoming a Christian. Whom He did know, foreknow, them He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is God's purpose, to conform you to the image of His Son. So that those who look at you will see not so much you, but see Christ. So then we close on this note to understand that no person here today will go away and say, I didn't understand the answer to the question. What must I do? What good must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord's answer is simply this. Follow me. And I will make you the kind of person who becomes fishers of men. The kind of person who is the light of the world. Walk with me and you will know that you are following the living God, because he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And as we look at him with unveiled face, we are changed into the same image. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.